Radiolab is supported by the John Templeton Foundation, funding research and catalyzing conversations that inspire people with awe and wonder. Learn about the researchers making the latest discoveries in the science of well-being, complexity, forgiveness, and free will at templeton.org/podcast.
Radiolab is supported by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, exercising, cleaning. What if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com, Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Hey, I'm Robert Krulwich.
I'm Jad Abumrad.
This is Radiolab.
Today, when brains attack.
Now, in this story, the next one up, we're going to meet somebody whose brain is, well, it's kind of keeping a secret from him. The brain knows something, but the brain isn't telling.
Well, really, first, it's a story of a friendship between two guys. Right. And the guy who told us the story is...
Andy Mills, and I am a freelance radio producer.
And the other guy, you'll meet him in a minute.
So maybe we should start, like, how did you meet? Like, what was the, where did you lay eyes on each other?
Well, it was my sophomore year of college, and it was the time that the freshmen are all moving into the dorms. And I was meeting new people, welcoming the freshmen.
Oh, you're an RA, or you're some sort of...
No. Just one of those chatty people in the dorm.
You're like, what's your name?
Exactly. And as I was talking, actually, to a group of freshmen in my room, I hear this, like, strange noise from the room next door. It was this kind of low drone. So I kind of peeked over and saw, you know, a 18 to 19 year old kid in a wheelchair, dark curly hair. And this noise I'd been hearing was his voice. Not even a week later, I run into him in the hallway, and I introduce myself. I say, hi, I'm Andy. What's your name? And he said,
my name is Con Ashmore. K-O-H-N.
Con
Ashmore.
Con Ashmore.
Yeah. I was on the way to eat lunch, and I invited him to join me. We sit down in the corner, and I notice, like, he brings the fork to his mouth, like, really slowly. Everything about him is slowed down. Yeah. But I also notice, like, he's witty, observant. And so, at a certain point in the conversation, I asked him, what's wrong? Like, why do you move and talk so slowly?
You just asked him flat out?
Yeah.
Was he offended?
No.
I think he was relieved to find somebody who was willing to admit that it's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Well.
And then he tells me the story.
The date was.
He started at the beginning.
November 15th.
He said, I was 8 years old.
I was out in the backyard.
I had this dog. The dog had run off.
Broke loose of his chain.
I ran out into the street. And the next thing I knew, I was waking up from a coma.
Yeah. Huh. 5 months.
5 months later.
He got hit by a car.
Yeah.
And when you woke up, what had happened to you? What were the injuries you suffered?
Well, I couldn't talk, couldn't move.
And then he comes out of it slowly and slowly. But thing is, he stays
slower.
Slow.
Very slow.
So this is a man who has slowed down globally.
Right. Except for, of course, his mind.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He does well in school. He's smart. He has a great sense of humor. And we connected, you know. I was his neighbor in the dorm, and we had a lot in common. We liked a lot of the same music. We used to stay up late. I'd play my acoustic guitar, and he would sing Matchbox 20 songs from the 90s. You know, he would.
You must slow down your playing? Is that what
my
happens?
Playing is not exactly rock star material or anything.
Yeah, I love that song. I think I know it by
you. Wasn't long before we ended up having these really deep conversations into the middle of the night.
About what?
Well, the fact that both of our parents are divorced and how we both grew up in households that were fighting all the time, and having to sleep at grandma's is like a regular part of both of our lives. We talked a lot about how like that impacted our life growing up, and we just became really close.
The level situation. Tell me what you had for breakfast today.
You know, I've known Khan for almost a decade. But it wasn't until last summer that I decided to interview Khan on tape, and it was in the middle of this interview that Khan tells me this story that completely changed the way that I think about Khan and his slowness.
So I really...
The story starts off with him in junior high, first big crush.
Julie.
Her name was Julie.
Back.
And he's trying to think of something romantic to do to catch her attention. And he really loves music. He was listening to his Walkman one night, and he realized that that's what he wants to do. He would make her
a mixtape.
A romantic mixtape, and that would be the thing. Huh. So he makes this tape, and then he decided that
I should try singing.
To actually sing
a love song
to Julie. So he writes the song, records it, puts the tape back in the stereo.
And when I played it back, woman is praying then I might. I remember being horrified. Just all right, even if I scream.
He felt embarrassed, he felt confused.
Screaming, crying.
Wait, why?
Well, it turns out that was the first time that he had ever heard his voice the way that you and I hear his voice. And
wait,
so,
first time? What does that even mean?
He never heard a recording of himself, or?
Well, no, not only had he never heard a recording of himself, but when he talks,
I hear myself like I hear you.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I mean...
He tells me that he actually didn't know that his voice was slow. He hears me talk normal, and then he hears himself talk normal as well. Like,
he think he's slow and speeding up, or do you think he just thinks he's regular?
It's not like he speeds both of us
up. Does he mean like... Your voice just, or his voice just feels normal, or does he mean it actually sounds normal?
It sounds exactly the same, is what I'm saying. Like, he thinks could be sitting here right now, he would hear you talk, you'd hear me talk, and then he would say something, and in his head, it's all the same speed.
But that doesn't make sense, because it's like variable speed, you know?
Right? I think he thinks he's just normal, I'm normal inside.
So we went back and forth and back and forth on this, until finally.
We need a specialist at this point.
Guess we'll all take our positions. Ready?
We ended up calling this guy who we've had on the show before.
All right, so Andy Oren's here.
Oren Davinsky, neurologist, NYU Medical Center.
He's the doctor.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Oren.
Anyhow, Andy ran him through the whole story.
Yeah, well, he was 8 years old, and he was, I believe
everything you've just heard. And here was Oren's reaction.
It's a fascinating case, and my first clinical question would be, did he know he moved slowly, but
absolutely,
not,
yeah.
But it was only for his own voice that he was unaware that he was different than everybody else.
Right.
So he does have feedback on himself. The one area he's not getting feedback on is his voice production, which interestingly happens in post-encephalitic Parkinson's patients. They're slow in all their movements. They're slow getting up out of a chair. They're slow walking. But as with Khan, there are some cases where they just get little focal areas that they don't see their slowness. So Oliver Sacks, when he took care of his awakenings patients at Beth Abraham Hospital in the Bronx, would sometimes record their voices and play it back, and they'd say, "That's not me. You're fiddling with the tape machine. Huh. That's not my voice."
Because really? The voice to them would sound
too slow.
Too slow.
Too slow.
Yeah, that's exactly, Colin.
Do you think his inner voice, his inner mental speed is truly as fast, or is that also slow?
Oh, it's absolutely normal.
Okay.
There was never a point where I was having to, like, wait for Khan to make some, you know, mental exercise before he'd respond.
What I don't understand fully is why he hears you, Andy, speaking at 3 times his pace and feel you're normal, but something about his own voice feeding back to his own brain, he never perceived that at a different speed than your voice and everyone else's. Mm.
Do you trust it?
Do you wonder it?
Yeah, do you wonder about
maybe? Would you suspect that if you met him, you'd learn something different than you?
Yeah, no, in medicine, you should always trust the patient's report, but keep in the back of your head a drop of skepticism. Yeah. But my gut as a clinician is more than 95% it's real.
Now, keep in mind, that was not a true clinical diagnosis. That was just Oren Devinsky giving us his gut opinion.
Well, I have a theory. Okay. I have a theory. Unscientific, though it may be.
Well, that's what we specialize in.
Right. Welcome to the club.
I think that it has something to do with familiarity. Like, when I first met Khan and I heard his voice, it was so foreign and so strange, and I could hardly make out what he was saying. But now, I'm surprised when people say, "What did he just say?" And I think, "Well, he just said he was horrified." You know, I've grown so familiar to his voice that it
is. It sort of like going into a Shakespeare play and an act one, scene two, you don't know what's going on, but somehow in the second act it begins to click.
Exactly, it's that familiarity. And if I have it, I mean, imagine what he must have.
Yeah, I've grown accustomed to hearing something different.
But what I don't get is, like, I mean, this went on for years, so how come no one told him?
His parents and his siblings and his friends have never turned to him and said, "Hey, what, you know, come on, speed it up." They've never ever said that.
Well, no, his parents being deaf, you know, cross them out. They couldn't have told him.
His parents are deaf.
Both of them. And Khan thinks that everyone else just assumed that he knew what his own voice sounded like.
Really? Like when you talk to his friends.
Hello.
Hey, Haley.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, Dave. What's up?
Oh, not much. What's up, Andy?
I mean, and you told them the whole thing.
To the point.
What was their reaction?
Honestly, most of them didn't believe me.
You're kidding.
Did you know this at all?
No, I had no idea. I didn't know that. And so when he speaks, he just thinks that it sounds just like anyone else?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So after he found out about his voice, which I guess was the one thing he thought was normal, what did he do?
Well,
he said,
"I'm never gonna talk again."
Did he talk again? Obviously he did, right?
Well, that's the same question I asked him.
After you heard that you were different,
how long did you go before talking again? And he told me,
"I do remember going back to school."
And he doesn't recall, like, the first conversation exactly that he had, but he thinks it went something like,
"Shut up and leave me the hell alone."
He didn't want to talk, but gradually he realized that he kind of had to.
And what about singing? You said he liked to sing.
Well, eventually he got comfortable again with the idea of having his voice recorded, his singing voice recorded, and so after the interview was over, he mentioned the song that he actually had been singing a lot, and so I turned the recorder back on and asked if he would sing it for me.
So, tell me the name of the song, and then just sing away.
"This is Grey Room by Damien Rice. Well, I've been here before, sat on the floor in a gray, gray room."
It was actually pretty emotional for us both. And as I'm sitting there hearing him sing this song, I'm just wondering, like, what does this sound like in his head? So after I got the tape recorded, I brought it back to my friends in Chicago in a band called Hudson Branch, and all of them know Khan. And I asked them, like, do you think that we could maybe play some music to this? So the music could kind of give us a peek into the way that Khan hears it and the way that Khan feels it, and maybe we could feel it too.
Stuck by the phone again. Well, I've been here before. Sat on the floor in a gray room. Gray room. Never gonna talk again. As a good thing,
I always thought of myself as I heard myself as a good singer.
Gray,
gray, talk again. I
yeah.
As I heard myself as a good singer.
Gray. Gray room.
Huh.
What did Khan say when he heard it, by the way? Did it remind him of anything, like what he feels?
Yeah, I mean, when he heard it, he said, hell f- yes. It was a quote from him, but yeah. No, he loves it. He loves it.
Thanks to producer Andy Mills, who just received an award at the Third Coast Festival for a shorter version of that piece. And thanks also, of course, to Khan Ashmore.
And the band.
Yeah.
And they call themselves Hudson Branch.
You can find out more about them at radiolab.org. And they have a new album out, just out, called World Kid.
And we will be right back.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.